thanks for joining us.
Thanks
great.
For joining us. Yeah, it was a great show. Oh, I have an idea. Now let's do the intro.
Oh, that's right.
We forgot about the intro.
Hello, I'm Michael. Wait, I'm not Michael. Okay, let's try again. Hello, I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is the podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books we read and want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do day by day working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind. Welcome to the podcast.
The podcast live.
The podcast live on Nozbe Reunion.
Yeah.
So it's actually it's very special because it's the first time... in half a year that we are recording this live thing.
Yeah, every half a year you say it's special.
Yeah, right.
And it's not unique, but yeah, it's rare.
So you don't think it's special now?
Okay, never mind. Let's get this out.
All right.
Oh, but we can't because we're live.
Ah, yeah, right. So it is special. We are live.
Yeah.
There is no Zoom technology involved here and everything. And we...
just face to face.
Yeah.
Okay.
Old school.
Yeah. So what's our plan for today?
Yeah. It's Thursday. So, no, it's not. It is.
It is.
It is Thursday, right?
It is Thursday.
Yeah. When, you know, when you spend a week with people like our team, the days just could get a little bit, you know, blurry.
Totally.
But yeah, it's Thursday. So we arrived here on Monday. Mm-hmm. We are leaving on Saturday morning.
Yes. Most of us.
Yeah, most of us. Some people left today. Some people leave tomorrow evening. So anyway, we are so far. So far, we've talked about things in our team. Mm-hmm. We've discussed some ideas, and today actually we had a good day. We shared a few, you know, critical discussions.
Yes, like the future of our company, kind of discussions.
Yeah, the future of Nozbe and productivity in general. You mm-hmm. know. Because we shape the future of productivity, right?
Yeah, changing the world and stuff.
Yeah. So I think we should discuss, we should give some updates, especially because today we discussed the TGIF idea.
Yeah.
So maybe we could start with that.
Yeah. So why don't you remind our listeners like what the whole TGIF idea was about?
Yeah. So a long story or a shorter one?
Yeah, I don't know. How you feel?
All right. So so the whole... TGIF idea, thank goodness it's Friday. Mm-hmm. I came up with it, kind of, because I was frustrated that on a Monday, when I was talking to my direct reports, I asked them a question. Who did weekly review today? And there was no show of hands. So last week, nothing. This month, yeah, there was one hand there. So mm-hmm. I was just, and I saw it because I was going, when I was doing my weekly review, I noticed lots of tasks and in lots of projects, untouched from months behind. So, and on the other hand, I was also thinking about how to, cut on meetings and make our work more focused. Something we also discussed in deep work, how to make it all, seem better. And also like the idea of Ryan Carson from Treehouse of having a shorter work week.
Right.
So this all came up with this idea, TGIF, thank goodness it's Friday, to give my team, to force them actually on Friday to do weekly review.
Right.
And to give them, to do some meetings in the morning, but then later ask the whole team to do a weekly review. And basically after that, give them time to decide what they want to do. I mean, they can, pursue, like learn something new, but not work-related. Try not to, work, do the actual work. The only actual work is the meetings in the morning, if you have any meetings in the morning, and then the weekly review. This is a must. And actually, if you could report on Slack, that you did weekly review to the whole team would be fine. But the idea, to do the weekly review, to have this time to review the whole week and plan the next one, to be able to start Monday with a plan.
Right. And then everything else would be a bonus.
Exactly. So whatever you do after the weekly review is a bonus. If you want to learn something new, you want to talk to your friends, or you want to, there's an online conference you wanted to watch. Mm-hmm. You want to learn something, some personal development things. read a good book, whatever. I mean, the idea is to spend the time the way you want it, but without the day-to-day work.
Right. And I think this went on for 2-3 months. We were discussing it 10 episodes ago on episode number 60, and we'll put the link in the show notes. And I think we discussed this just like after the first time we actually did a Friday like this.
Yeah.
So 10 weeks in, how do we feel about this, experiment? Because it was supposed to be an experiment until today.
Yeah, exactly. So our idea was to launch it as soon as possible, so in August, and then in October, decide, you know, some conclusions, if it actually works and how it works and if we want to keep it,
right,
keep doing it. So I think one of the first conclusions we arrived actually even before the reunion was that it's not that easy actually.
No.
To have this, you know, this day, this different day in a week. People want to work, you know. I mean, you give them almost a day free and they want to work.
Yeah.
Like you actually have to force them not to.
Yeah, that's strange and surprising, and it turns out that it's not just a privilege, but it's something you have to learn how to deal with, because like you're used to having a work day one way, and now you have new opportunities, but you're already in this habit of just doing work, right? You're at work, so there's always things coming in, activity happening, like things to like reply to, give feedback here, like do this task and that task, and it turns out, wow, I just spend the whole day doing nothing, or I just spend half of the day catching up with work, so essentially just doing normal work. And that wasn't really what the idea was about, to just fake it.
Yeah. And people just feel this, you know, guilt, you know, I mean, you know, this guy here, he pays my salary and he wants me to work. And then suddenly, you know, on Friday, he doesn't want me to work. I mean, this is crazy stuff, right?
Right. But it's, I don't think it's a conscious like feeling of guilt. It's a subconscious thing,
yeah,
that it's
totally.
just strange, right?
Yeah.
To allow yourself,
yeah, exactly,
not to really work, but to use this time that you're paid for to go just learn something or something like that.
Yeah. So today, what we did is we asked, you know, everybody at in our conference room, we asked everyone to describe their Friday, their TGIF experience, and tell us what they think about it, how they see it, and some of the conclusions. So, for example, interesting thing was, and I think a pro tip also was from Radek, our designer, is that it's a good idea to start Friday in a different place.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he has a laptop, so he just takes the laptop and sits on a couch instead of sitting by the desk.
To explain, he also has a big iMac.
Exactly.
So he has a second computer, and like this is really clever, because like you're changing the context. It's like you have this anchor in your brain that the desk and the iMac is real work.
Mm-hmm.
But when I take my laptop and sit on a couch or in a different room, that like you're in a different mode, right? You're doing something else.
And for example, to me, I was always doing it anyway when I was doing my weekly review. I would normally do my weekly review in a cafe.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
I would put my headphones with a special music just for this.
Yeah.
Right?
The weekly review music.
The weekly review music, exactly. So yeah, this is a special kind, they say, on iTunes, weekly review music.
Yeah. By Michael Slavinsky.
Exactly. So that's the thing. So I think it's a good tip to start Friday different so that you know it's a different day. It's
mm-hmm.
a different kind of day. So our support staff was complaining that our customers don't understand that we have TGIF. And they keep emailing us, you know? And we love our customers. So, you know, we love our customers. So
yeah,
it's not about that. But they were right. I mean, they receive, you know, customer email on Friday.
Yeah, that is a problem that we kind of, I mean, I don't know about you, but I just didn't consider it. Like,
right.
In our company, there's this kind of big divide between the development team and the support team. There's obviously the marketing people who are looking at me,
yeah,
and this guy also. But like in general, like the support work at this company is a very different kind of work,
yeah,
from most of everything else, and that kind of is an interesting constraint, like how to actually do something like TGIF when you have to, you know, stay up to date with answering emails, right?
Yeah, and especially that we treat really our support seriously, and we want to be able to respond very quickly to each inquiry.
And actually, that's kind of a problem with a lot of things we're talking about. Like we're talking about, you know, productivity needing something like deep work, you know, long stretches of focus, uninterrupted time. And for us, answering emails is exactly the kind of shallow work that we do not want to do.
Yeah.
And how to, like, it's interesting. I don't have any answers, but it's interesting and something to think about. How can the support team maybe get some value out of these ideas,
mm-hmm,
and TGIF and, you know, ideas like deep work and whatnot, when they have this very specific constraints of being constantly up to date, something we have to unlearn.
Yeah. But what they said, I mean, it was very interesting that they said that because we have this policy of TGIF, for them, they said that anyway, they feel this day is a bit different. They try to structure it differently anyway. They try to, they still have to reply to emails, obviously, but when they are not replying to emails, they're tackling different things. They're thinking about different things, not day-to-day work, but something different. So in their minds, I mean, as far as I understood, it's already a little bit different, although it's so similar.
Yeah, one idea, something to think about is you also moved some regular meetings to Friday.
Yeah.
And one of the constraints is that the support team has a 9 a.m., I think, meeting on Friday. And perhaps Friday is not a good day for that. Perhaps that meeting that also has to happen should happen on another day.
Yeah.
And then there would be more space on Friday to do, you know, like reading or learning something new. And the kind of stuff we're trying to use Friday for.
Yeah, I think we should talk to Ivona about it, to our head of support.
Yes.
But anyway, if you're listening to it and to this, and you're our Nozbe customer, we would, you know, kindly ask you to send email to support every day of the week except for Friday. This would mean so much.
Thanks.
I actually
wanted to reply to what you said about Radix pro tip.
Yeah.
Because this is this was really clever. I didn't think of this. I mean, I also do this with my weekly review. I've already been doing, like, this is what I do on Sunday. I would take my laptop again, go to a coffee shop, and work there, and that works really, really well. But I just the thing with the laptop, I only work on a laptop, but I normally have it connected to a. I have it sitting on a desk connected to a big display, keyboard, whatnot. And then when I use the same computer outside of work for something else, I just disconnect it and use it as a laptop. And
right,
that is a context switch that I found very useful. So that, again, I have the anchor of desk work, you know, couch, laptop, not work. But I didn't think of it in the context of Friday. And perhaps that's a good idea. Like, what if I would do exactly that. Perhaps something similar as with the coffee shop thing. Just take it and work outside of home. Like maybe work something else, somewhere else, or again, just in a different room. Perhaps that would be a something to try. Like a really good brain hack. Like something to a way to again give yourself license to do something else than work, because you're already in this different environment. So it should probably mean something else than the normal work.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. I mean, especially now that I chose my iPad Pro.
Yes.
So I had this. So it's a side note, but I was trying. I mean, I bought the 13-inch, the big iPad Pro last year, and before the summer I bought the smaller iPad Pro, this one, the Baby Pro, and I just recently posted on my blog that I was trying both of them. Mm-hmm. For work, and you know, finally, because this Baby Pro is so light and so nice, I'm keeping the Baby Pro. I'm selling the big one, and on Friday, so next Friday, it's my resolution. I'm going to again take my iPad only somewhere. I will not work in my home office and switch the context. So definitely something to consider.
Yeah, very good idea. So tell me how you have been doing.
Yeah,
over the last 10 weeks.
Oh, I had some serious failures or missteps. I mean, I actually, you know, I was the proponent of doing the weekly review because for me, weekly review was obvious and that's good and everything. But it's the muscle memory problem, kind of. I was just so much used to doing it on Mondays, the weekly review on Mondays. And why I didn't want to do it on Mondays anymore, because I wanted to start Monday with a plan, just right. To get some, you know, serious work done and not start Monday with a review and then, you know, thinking what I should do this week. You know, I wanted to start the week, you know, strong, mm-hmm. right? Eat that frog kind of thing, you know, just, you know, go with something substantial. And what happened was that I found myself confused on Friday to do the weekly review. I was not used to it, you know.
Right.
I had all my, like, all of the other things I was reviewing, I had them all set up, even tasks, some recurring tasks in Nozbe. I had ready for weekly review to go on Monday and not on Friday. So for me, it was a big, and it still is, I mean, a bit challenging to move to Friday after, you know, practically years of doing it on Monday.
Right.
So this was like the one of the first things, first challenges. But the second was even stronger, was before the reunion, I do individual chats with everyone.
Right, but that's not how you used to do things.
Exactly. So we decided before this reunion that I want to be more involved in the reunion because we're all here present. So I wanted to do individual chats with everyone mm-hmm. via Zoom, video chats before the reunion.
Normally you would do it during. That would be like a part of the Nozbe reunion.
Exactly.
But so, then that would take you away from all of the discussions happening.
Exactly. And especially, I want to be present. We have really serious things to talk about here, and we will mention some of them like a little bit later. But so the idea was, I want to do individual chats before the reunion. But with 20-something people, it's, you know, almost 20 hours of chats, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, the brilliant idea, let's do it on Fridays, right?
Yeah.
So the first two Fridays I did it like that. And I was like, wait up, I'm doing all this on Friday. So I'm taking away TGIF of each of this person, of these people. I'm taking away my own TGIF.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not doing my proper weekly review on Friday again.
Right.
Right? So anyway, I was doing my weekly review on Monday, you know? So really no gain from my TGIF. So like after 2 weeks like that, I was like, I talked to Natalia, my assistant, come on, this is not how it's supposed to be. So just please reschedule my individual chats to different days.
Yeah.
On Friday, I want to have my TGIF and be able to actually try it myself. So again, I just thought, you know, if Friday is so free, I can do anything, right? But this wasn't actually the thing I should be doing.
Yeah, that's exactly what we talked about how it's kind of difficult to pull yourself away from the normal work, right?
Exactly.
It's like, oh, hey, there's empty space. Let's just fill it with stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's not the stuff that's the frog, the problem you don't want to tackle, but it's exactly what you really care about.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was a major issue. But apart from that, you know, I think what people really liked about the Friday, I mean, from all the feedback that we got, is that they have, I mean, even if we're not doing it properly yet, and we are, you know, we still have to figure out the TGIF thing to really make it work. But for people, my feedback was that the whole mindset change, that Friday is designed by them.
Mm-hmm.
Not imposed on them from work.
Yeah.
That, you know, the Friday is the one day that doesn't result from the tasks. It doesn't result from the from what your boss wants you to do. It results or your obligations. It results, I mean, Friday is the day you design.
Right. That's a really cool way to put it. Yeah. For me, it has also been challenging for the same, you know, for many of the same reasons. It's just so much easier to do than the normal things, right? And even though, like, I would start the day with a weekly review, but I would get so distracted by the things I'm reviewing because,
right.
Like, I'm already used to doing the weekly review, but it would be in a kind of different mode because it would be outside of work and it would be, like, a weekly review of like everything in my life. And I kind of split it into two parts. Like on Friday, I review my work things and plan the next week. And then on Sunday, I still keep like my normal routine, which we'll get to some in the future. Yeah, I'll tell you more about it. But anyway, there's a bunch of projects and I'll review them, and that's fine. And it's very useful that I can start Monday with a very precise plan. But then, you know, here's this task that I could actually do now. Or maybe like I have this project with like a list of like bugs to file, like just a screenshot, like so, just a small thing to do. And this thing takes 15 minutes and the other thing takes 10. And then, oh, I'll just ask, you know, Rafael, like, hey, can you give me feedback on this thing? Or like, hey, do you know about... And then literally, I know it's 5 p.m. and my day is over. And
right.
A day that was supposed to be designed by me, something where a day of like kind of work hygiene, you know, doing the week review, it would become something, you know, the exact opposite thing. A day spent on just the little things that don't matter. So it takes discipline, and I'm learning that. And it's been getting better for sure. I've also been resisting the urge to, you know, catch up on work because there's always time for that and never time for things like, you know, learning completely new things that I don't get to work through normal work, right? So some of those 10 weeks, it's not been very good, but I also had a few days that were just great. I would do my week review in like 2-3 hours tops, including you know, one or two meetings that were there. I've already been doing regularly, so I didn't have the problem like many people of first having to go through all of the projects the first time.
Yeah.
So that was simpler. And then I would do that. And then I would have, you know, 4-5 hours of just like complete focus on, say, learning something new. And I've started doing a few, let's just say, learning projects, you know, a few things that I had on my list for a long while, but I never had time for them because there's never time during my own time, you know, on the weekends. And it's not something I could like directly apply to work. So it's not something that would naturally, I would naturally learn through work.
Yeah.
And there was never time for it. And now there is. And that's amazing. And I just, what I need is to learn how to extract more of these Fridays productively like that. But when it worked, it's been great. So I'm happy we're continuing this policy.
Yeah, so definitely we're sticking with the policy. What I really liked was that people, like many people, admitted they were not doing weekly review at all.
Yeah.
Until that point. So it's already value there that they started doing that and they recognized the value. I mean, here, Kuba, our social media guy, he admitted... Hi, Kuba. He admitted that that his first weekly review was just so long. I mean, to go through all the projects and everything that, you know, the first time was really bad. And lots of people admitted the same. But then, of course, the subsequent weekly reviews are easier because you've already, like, cleaned up the most important things. I remember, like, I had a few projects and one of them was with my CTO, with Tomasz. And this project had a few tasks that were like hanging there, like these, you know, ghosts, like these, you know, ghosts.
Yeah, totally.
And he would, one day I would do my weekly review last week and the project was empty. and the best part, my first reaction was like, might not be broke. I don't see any tasks in this project, right? but then I checked the, you know, completed tasks. And then I realized all of them were completed.
Yeah.
Right? And it was amazing. I mean, he really reviewed these tasks, completed them, or just filed them as we're not going to do this now and just, you know, got rid of them. But he like made these decisions and cleaned it up. And
yeah.
It was great. It was just so refreshing to see that.
Yeah. You know, I also like, I still really like how you called the Friday, the TGIF, a day you designed, because... it was also very interesting to me to see how different people approach this, because like me and you, we had a very very similar view of like what we needed out of that Friday and like what do we need it for. But again, the support team, they were doing like something different. They had to like adjust to their realities. And it was also interesting to me how I think like three or four programmers said that at least lately they haven't like their Fridays aside from the week review have been pretty much just coding. regular work days. And I saw that through like their actions, the fact that there's been activity on Git, and I assume that they have the same problem we had with the discipline, the license to you know to let yourself not do that. But in fact, they were totally conscious about it because they're working on a project which we'll mention in a bit. That uses a bunch of like new technologies at our company. And so at this point, this is exactly what they want and that they need. Like they want to learn, but for this project with these many new technologies that they have to learn, you know, learning through working is exactly what works. A lot of the time, learning something new requires like deliberate practice, like something completely different from normal work. But in some cases, it is the work that teaches you. And for like lately, for the last couple of weeks, for the next couple of weeks, that's their life. And they chose, actually, I just want to like continue doing the work, which to me was surprising. But if that's what they want, then that's also great.
Yeah, and they tried new things because of that. I mean, they tried pair programming, and they keep doing it as well. And one of them, Marcin, who recently was promoted to like a more senior position here in our team, and he has more other responsibilities. He said that he actually can't wait for Friday because then he can just really code, right?
Yeah.
And this, this is fun for him, and this is what what makes Friday cool for him.
Yeah, and the best part is, even though lately it's just been pretty much a normal workday for them, I think what helps is that because we make it official that it's a company policy, I think you have this psychological safety that if like this week, this Friday, I just can't do that because I have so many things like on my head. I really need to focus on my week review, or I really want to read this thing because it's important to me. Like you don't have to even explain yourself to anyone because this is what we do,
right,
on Fridays.
Yeah,
so that helps.
Another pro tip. I mean, just talking what people were like, how people were designing Friday. One of the cool ideas that people mentioned was to actually get to know your tools better. We know our tools. I mean, we know our programs and everything. And then one thing is, working on your craft, like, programming or writing or something like that. But the other thing is to actually get to know your tools, because your tools may help you get more done, right? Like if you watch Nozbe tutorial, you finally realize we have features you never, tried. And people are always amazed when they do that. But it's like one of our designers, he was like learning new, he said he was finally up to date with all the new things in Adobe's suite, right? And for him, it's really crucial because these new things might help him create, better designs for us. So I think it's a good idea to have this time to learn your tool set, to get to know your tool set better, to watch this tutorial, watch a few clips of how people are, hacking your tools and working on your tools. Like just on this reunion, we exchange a few tips, how we use workflow, how we use if this and that, how we use other, tools that help us just be more productive and just, have more fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think, and this is one of the productivity tips and tricks, know your tool set, because when you do that, you just get better.
So I think we should talk about the secret product number one.
Yeah, I think we should.
All right, do it.
So we last year, we introduced Nozbe.how, templates. The idea being, people shouldn't be selfish when they create a project template. They should share it with the world because their template helps them get more done. But why don't they just share a template to other people, because they might help other people as well. Just like I have my triathlon packing list, for example, which is just a basic example, but it helps me prepare and make sure I have everything for my triathlon race. And triathlon are three sports, lots of things to take. So if you forget something, you might actually blow your race. So you won't do that. You don't want to do that. And people have been sharing lots of templates over the last year. And we have seen the templates grow, and we launched it as a like very, very basic thing, a very basic project. We just wanted to see if this actually catches some attention and people if people like it. And recently we introduced some enhancements with like the thumbnails of templates and things like that. But now we're actually rewriting the whole thing.
Yeah, just from scratch.
Yeah.
Because the problem is, early on, we decided that we're just going to use a tweaked version of the Nozbe web app, that we just use the whole same code base and just add a Nozbe how mode, right?
Exactly.
And then like all of the stuff that doesn't matter disappears. There's just a list of tasks and task details, and that's that, right? So a very like slimmed down version of Nozbe. What could possibly go wrong?
Exactly.
But there's been problems with that. Like first of all, there is so much more in the main app that isn't in Nozbe how, that it's just difficult to make sure implementation details out of the web app don't leak to Nozbe how. And they did, and we had like strange bugs or like, you know, messages popping up telling you to upgrade to the pro version
of Nozbe how, which doesn't exist.
Which makes no sense, right?
Right.
And it would quite possibly be a good idea if the whole thing was designed to do this from the start, but it was just bolted in after, you know, 2 years or whatever after the project started. And then another problem is that in general, just the whole web app was not designed for this. It does the whole like syncing thing, which makes no sense for like syncing like this with a local storage makes no sense for Nozbe how. Like it's supposed to just be a simple website really, and not a whole like powerful web app.
Right.
Right. And that was a problem. And in general, it's just been kind of slow and unreliable, and it just added more work for us to maintain this mode instead of making it simpler for everyone.
And also hindered our further possibilities of actually enhancing Nozbe.how, because we would actually be afraid to touch it.
Yes.
Because we could generate bugs for the main web app. So so the idea of splitting Nozbe.how as something different that looks the same, mm-hmm. but it's just a different code base. What it does is, like, so in our case and in our developer's case, we use different technologies for this. Mm-hmm. So it's radically, it's just so much better. It's so much faster. It doesn't have all this, you know, baggage of code. So it's just very fast. I love it. I mean, I've seen the betas now. There was a demo today, and I love how it works. It's not finished yet. It's going to be available in late November. So the new templates are going to be available there. But it's amazing. I mean, it's really. I love how it works. I love the new technologies behind it. And for the dev team, it was challenging to actually learn new stuff, learn new technologies, try them out, see how they work.
Yeah.
For example, there is like should I spoilers or something? No, we don't like spoilers.
For the technology.
Yeah.
Or for
no
the,
for the
for how it works.
For how it works.
Let's just keep it under wraps for now, but yeah. I think people will like how it works.
Yeah, and for the future, we have some really cool ideas how we can integrate the templates even more in the app without, you know, sharing the code base. Because like to give you an idea to access the apps, the templates easier, and add them to your NASB account easier, and may and in the future really maybe categorize the templates. I mean, do some additional stuff that we were afraid to do in the old version.
But here's the thing: I think, at least to me, the most exciting part is the technology, because look, the current web app for NASB, it started 3 years ago, over 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And in fact, it shares a lot of its internals, just the way it's built, the technology and tools it uses, from the previous version, which I think started in 2011 or 2012. So yeah. In many ways, the whole code base is old, and it has evolved slightly over the years, but there's a lot of technological limitations to this, and things that, that really bug us, both from the you know, the standpoint of the user, just how certain things work. Are they fast? Do they animate well? And just how much work it is for us developers to program it, to maintain it. And so part of what we're doing with NASB How 2.0 is it's a technology playground.
Yeah.
Because in many ways, like, we'll obviously over you know, the next couple of years, we'll want to evolve and make NASB better and better. But it's not so simple. Like, we're cautious about this because it's very difficult to just change a bunch of like things that you do with technology in your app. And so this way we have an opportunity to really learn them on a real big, you know, not super big, but relatively big project, and just get comfortable with the technology, get really good at it. And then we'll see how it goes, you know, how we can integrate it and take advantage of it in the whole app.
So from my point of view, the problem with hiring programmers is the fact that they like new technologies and they don't want to work with unsexy technologies. So
it's like designers and redesigning logos.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know a lot about that. So the idea is that we and anyway, as you said, we try to not only add features to NASB, improve things NASB UI wise and everything, but also keep improving our technology stack to make sure that it's still competitive, that it's still fast, that it's still using the latest and the greatest, especially that now that you mention it, our users are upgrading their iOS devices, for example, at the same pace as the whole world. So pretty fast.
Yeah, there's 75% of our users are on iOS 10, which is great.
And iOS 10 just launched, like, yeah. What, a month ago, right?
Yeah, and as for improving and evolving our technology stack, I mean, look, we're not the kind of company to look at things, you know, we don't tend to be short-sighted. I mean, you started NASB 10 years ago, and it went through quite a lot of evolutions and revolutions and a lot of iterations, and we'll obviously keep doing that. And so a lot of these things, they're a slow process. It takes a while, but we're not just trying to make something, you know, launch something really cool like now to you know, kind of make a quick buck, let's just say. But we're trying to invest in technology and in the fundamentals, yeah. For the long run.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we will celebrate our 10th anniversary next February. So in
that's right.
3 months. So we are here for the long haul. You know, we are not a startup that just, you know, was born yesterday and is going to vanish tomorrow. We love doing what we're doing. And I think this is also the power of NASB.